The Boston Celtics get an 88-87 win over the Sixers. Did anybody really win in this game? All right, the Celtics did, but ugh. I'm going to talk about it right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Rainy J's back with the vengeance, back all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day, part of your daily routine. Locked On Celtics is free. It's available everywhere podcasts exist and on YouTube. Watch the show on YouTube, please. Every show is available. Past, I want to say present, yeah. Future, it will be on LockedOnCeltics.com. I'm John Corrales. I cover the team for Boston Sports Journal. I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. And I'm here for you after the Boston Celtics beat the Sixers 88-87 in a very gross, very ugly, but a win nonetheless as they head out on a road trip. And look, let me just start with the positives here. First of all, yeah, win. But look, the luck for the Celtics changing a little bit. They face the Sixers. Embiid, not 100%, nowhere close to 100% because of COVID. They're going out to play Utah. Utah is fine for now. They played Portland. Damian Lillard out with lower abdominal tendinopathy. Tendinopathy is the new word in the NBA. They go to LA. You have LeBron in COVID protocols. Then you play the Clippers. I don't know. Paul George missed the game just because of rest, but hey, I don't know. Maybe he's getting tired. And then you go to Phoenix. We'll see how Devin Booker's hamstring is going to be, but he missed the Tuesday night game or left the Tuesday night game with hamstring tightness. So who knows if he's going to be limited or not. But look, hey, shaping up that the Celtics are catching a couple of breaks on the injury side here instead of the Celtics being the ones who are always injured. It's the other teams who are always injured. Oh, but John, you say, weren't you the one tweeting about Jaylen Brown? Yeah, I was. So let's get to the basics here. In the last segment, I'll talk about Al Horford. In the second segment, I'll get into some of the more individual stuff. But let's get to the big storylines out of this game. Let's just start with, I'll start with Jaylen Brown. Let's just start with this because it might be the most important element of this. Jaylen was not himself in this game. The numbers, not great for Jaylen. And let's see. 3 of 11 shooting, 1 of 4 from 3, 2 of 4 from the line, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 9 points. A very not great game for him. He looked like he was out of it. And we've seen that out of it look from him before many times in the past, to the point where Jason Tatum went over and had to kind of say something. And after the game, he said, look, I just told him to keep your head up. There's times when I'm down and he sees it. And when he sees that I'm down, and I know how hard he works, how bad he wants it. So look, he was really sticking up for his teammate there, which, side note, really good, right? Like, all of this talk about Jaylen and Jason, you know, people still want to bring it up. Squash that. But the fact that he felt like, oh, okay, we got this Jaylen here right now, I got to go say something to him. Very obvious. Jaylen was flexing that leg. He was, you know, I saw once on a free throw that he was getting ready to box out and he kind of like grabbed at his hamstring. And after the game, at the last second, Robert Williams blocked the shot. Everybody's jumping around, bouncing around. And Jaylen's kind of standing off to the side. He's kind of like hopping. He's doing that little hop on his left leg with his right leg not putting weight on it. I asked Ime Udoka after the game. I said, hey, is Jaylen okay? It looks like he re-injured himself. And Ime was like, nah, I don't know. I didn't see anything. He didn't say anything to me, but it looked clear as day that Jaylen was not 100% throughout the game. And at the end, he looked like it was not good. So the bad news coming out of this game. I am convinced, I'm 100% convinced that the injury has resurfaced to some degree. I don't know if it's the full back to the strain as that it was before, but I would not be shocked that if he missed time, if he missed that game against Utah, maybe if he missed Utah and Portland, you say, hey, look, it's Wednesday night. You miss. Let's give you the weekend off. Let's see if by Tuesday against the Lakers, we got a Tuesday, Wednesday back-to-back. Let's see if we can bring you back then. I really am starting to question the recovery plan here for Jalen. If he clearly wasn't 100%, was it worth it bringing him back? I don't know. Let's just table that for a second. Let's see what they say tomorrow. Let's see what they say over the weekend. I'm skeptical. I'm just convinced. I'm so convinced that if he's fine and plays against Utah, I will be shocked. So we'll just put that there. All right, let's get back to the game here, which was an ugly game. The Celtics came out hot in this game. It was a 16-4 run, and Al Horford just pounding it inside to Al Horford. He was attacking Joel Embiid. For some reason, they got away from that. I don't understand why, because Horford finished the game 4 of 6 for 10 points. But in the first quarter, he got most of that in the first quarter. Let me look up his first quarter stats real quick here. He was 3 of 3. So three of three in the first quarter for 7 points. And then 1 of 3 the rest of the way. That's just not enough. If Al Horford's got it going, to me, I feel like I'm talking about this game like it's a loss. And Ime Udoka kind of shot me something after the game. Let me get to that in a second. But I felt like he was like looking at me and being like, hold up, John, slow your roll here. Cause I was talking about this game like it was kind of a loss. Like I felt like it was a loss. I just felt like it was ugly. Like the whole thing was ugly. And I was kind of feeling like after the Toronto game that, hey, this ball movement that we saw all game against Toronto, I'm excited to see if that continues here. And it didn't really. And so, but they got away from Al Horford. I saw Joel Embiid warming up, and he was very clearly not himself, right? He was very clearly, he was bent over. He was doing some kind of like drill back and forth, taking 2, 3, 4 shots. And then he'd grab his shorts and he'd bend over and try to catch his breath and get, he's just coming back from COVID. So Joel Embiid was not himself, not one bit in this game. And I've seen Joel Embiid play like the settling game and either start strong or settle at first and then come on strong later. But he did none of that. He settled for everything. He was 3 of 17, and I think all 17 were jumpers, some version of a jumper, fadeaways. He was not going to the rim at all. He didn't have the energy. And Al Horford took advantage of that, and they just never went back to it. They never went back to, hey, let's challenge Embiid. And maybe they wanted Embiid on the floor because they knew that if you challenged Embiid and you got him off the floor in foul trouble, that by, you know, bringing on Andre Drummond was a better option in this game. So if I'm looking at this, I say, you know, you probably could have gone back to Al a little bit in this. But hey, after that initial burst, the Sixers came back, had their burst to end the first quarter. From there was a rock fight. It was gross the rest of the way, and it just didn't feel like either team was gonna take control. This was just gonna go down to who can get that last possession and who can make a play on that last possession, which is exactly what happened. The Celtics, to their credit, like I'm not gonna say that they held the Philadelphia 76ers to 37.1% shooting, because 17 of those shots were Joel Embiid. And I do not want to diminish the defense that they played on Embiid, because they did play some good defense on him as well. But also those 17 shots, that 3 of 17 was mostly Embiid going, you know what? I got nothing. I'm just going to take jumpers and hopefully I can shoot my way through this. So we may go back in history and come back and be like, wow, the Celtics held him to 3 of 17 in this game. But for now, while it's fresh in our heads, The Celtics didn't hold him to that. He held himself to that because of his recovery from COVID. But the Celtics did play some decent defense overall. They didn't shoot 37% just for nothing, but the defense, you saw it really, really ramp up at the end, culminating in the final play where it was just chef's kiss, mwah, that the Celtics, you know, Robert Williams covered the inbounder, and then, which was, I believe, Niang, and followed it, stuck with him to the opposite corner and ended up blocking the shot there. Horford had to switch onto, who'd he switch onto? Tobias Harris. And he stayed in front of him. He didn't want to switch. The plan was not to switch, but Embiid just crushed Jalen with a pick and to get that switch, and he forced it. Credit to Horford for staying in front of Harris. Credit to Jaylen Brown, who, again, clearly that hamstring's not 100%, who I compared it to going up against a tackling, one of those sleds, one of those blocking sleds, because he just dug down. His body was at a 45-degree angle, and he was just driving Embiid, trying to prevent him from getting the ball deep and not get pinned, and he did a fantastic job defensively. That defensive possession was gorgeous. Again, it caps off an ugly win. After the game, I'm talking to Ime Udoka, and I'm asking him, like, some of the same stuff. Like, you're frustrated by, you know, some of the defense, or your defense was kind of up and down, and then you really dug in. And he said, you know, he kind of, like, understood the tone of my question, which was kind of criticizing. And he said, you know, I think we were solid throughout the game, really dug in late in the game when we had to. As you can see in that last play, guys scrambled around, defended at a high level, and then got the shot blocked. So not really going to apologize for an ugly win. It happens. Like, he was looking at me and he said, not really going to apologize. Like, it feels like he knew that I was saying, like, this is not the best performance that you had. And he's like, nope, not having that noise. I'm shutting it down right now. We're going to take this ugly win. We'll take them ugly. We'll take them pretty. We'll take them however we can get them. As long as it's a W, we're going to pack that W up and take it with us out to the West Coast, because you take them however you can get them in the NBA. So, yes, some frustration on my part watching a team where you think it's going to do a certain thing and it goes the other way. But, hey, it's a win, and Ime's going to take it. The guys are going to take it. Hopefully Jaylen Brown's fine, and they start their West Coast trip. I'll talk about some of the individual performances here as I continue to get critical because, you know, when it doesn't go the way you'd hope, you get a little critical. That is going to come up next. First, I got to tell you about Truebill. Truebill is going to prevent you from getting scammed by those greedy corporations who want to pocket your money with those free subscriptions, those subscriptions that you sign up for that you don't want, you don't really need, but hey, it's a free subscription. Let me just sign up. Oh, I got to put a credit card in there. No problem. I'll cancel it later. But then you forget, and then you look at your credit card bill and you say, what the hell is this thing? Truebill is going to come along. On average, they save people up to $720 a year. Companies make these subscriptions hard to cancel. Truebill makes it very simple. You link your accounts, Truebill cancels when you want them to, with one tap, and with Truebill Concierge, they will cancel unwanted subscriptions so you do not have to. All right, I've had subscriptions renew and I've had to go through the process myself. It's annoying. I do not have that time. Truebill will save you that time. Over 2 million users have saved over $100 million, so do not fall for these subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now, Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Hey, thank you for making Locked On Celtics your first listen every day. Why not make your second listen one of the opponents? How about Locked On Sixers? New host Serena Winters used to be the sideline reporter for the Sixers broadcast. Now she's hosting the Locked On Celtics podcast. Does a great job. If you'd listened to her before the game, you got a real sense of what was going to happen in this. And look, it's great to get the previews and the reactions. So just to see how the other side is listening to things. So Locked On Jazz, Locked On Blazers, Locked On Lakers and Clippers, and so on and so forth. Check them out. All right, back to the game here. I will say that at the end, Dennis Schroeder made a couple of nice plays. There was one play at the end where I thought it was perfectly executed. Pick and roll, pick and pop. Al Horford draws Joel Embiid. You got Schroeder taking advantage of his speed, getting to the rim. That's late game execution. You got a matchup, right? And I asked Jason Tatum after the game, hey, sometimes you got the ball in your hands. Sometimes you're standing there in the corner, kind of sort of being a decoy. And he's like, look, sometimes we've got defensive matchups that we really want to pick on. So it's either me against the other team's best defender or a player that we like going up against a matchup that we like. Okay, fair enough. Makes sense. You don't always have to have your best player out there with the ball in his hands on every play down the stretch. Sure. In fact, I applaud them for doing that. That's something we've actually asked for. Sometimes you want your best player to be the decoy to just spread out the floor. These other guys are elite basketball players too. Dennis Schroeder's an elite basketball player. Every player in the NBA is an elite basketball player. NSK Freedom is an elite basketball player. Even though in NBA standards, I might have some issues, but in the grand scheme of things, he's one of the few hundred best players in the world, considering the world population. That makes him an elite basketball player. So I get it. Schroeder had some good plays down the stretch. However, if they're going to do that, you got to run that pick and roll with Al Horford. You got to run it with Horford or somebody that can clear the lane. Because when Al Horford was parked on the block and they ran it with Jaylen Brown down the stretch, nope, not going to happen. Because Schroeder turns the corner and sees Joel Embiid standing there. Gassed or not, Joel Embiid is a gigantic monster of a human being. And Schroeder's like, no, I want no part of that. So he takes this contested fadeaway mid-range thing that doesn't fall. That you cannot have that. If you're gonna have Jason Tatum out in the corner and you're gonna have him be a decoy, and you have Jaylen Brown, either involve Jaylen Brown in the play so he gets the ball, or if he doesn't get the ball, you don't get the matchup, you don't get the switch that you want. Okay, call Al Horford up. Come on up. The timing's got to be right. Then if that doesn't work, okay, let's go back to our money. Bring up Horford, run your pick and roll there, your pick and pop, and challenge them. And if Embiid wants to step up, now you got your lob to Al Horford. If Embiid hangs back or follows Horford out in the pop, now you can get by and you've got to play at the rim. Or if they collapse, flip it around, corner three-pointer, where Jason freaking Tatum is standing over there. So late game execution, still an issue for the Celtics, but I see where it's going. I can appreciate that Schroeder is part of that mix, that plan. Got to refine that. Some other guys who were good, Robert Williams out there had, you know, another positive impact. He had three block shots, including the game-sealing block. That was really fun. That defensive play, again, by him was fantastic and just a testament to his abilities, his athletic abilities, and his instincts. Jason Tatum called him a security blanket. You know that if you get burned, he's going to be back there and he can block a shot or challenge a shot, which he did. He blocked three shots. He had four rebounds, 10 points in 25 minutes, 5 of 7. A bunch of those were lobs, and I think Rob was really good, limited, as he said before the game, like, hey, the flu got me. It was the flu. It wasn't COVID, but he reacted like he got hit by COVID. He was knocked out for a little while. So he's going to take a little while to get back up to speed. Also good in this game. I thought Marcus Smart was good in this game. The Celtics have, 33 baskets, 33 of 79. They shot less than 42%. It's hard to get 8 assists out of 32 or 33 baskets. That's what, more than a quarter of their baskets Marcus Smart assisted on. Then, you know, his shooting is still not there, but the assists plus a couple of steals, I thought was a decent night for Smart. No one was outright good overall, but I thought Smart, considering all things considered, I'll take those eight assists. Again, hard to get eight assists in a game like this when, you know, everything, no one's hitting real shots. And then Tatum, I looked at this game and I think this is not a great Tatum game. Didn't really get to a lot of what he was wanted to do, but 9 of 20 is not bad. You hit one more shot, you're hitting 50%. 3 of 8 from 3 is 37.5%. That's okay. 5 of 5 from the line, maybe you want him to go to the line a little bit more. The two assists is low, but hey, 16 rebounds, a steal, 26 points, 16 rebounds, two assists, a steal is a nice line and impacting the game in another way. 16 rebounds. Look, I rebounding was my thing when I played. 16 rebounds is 16 rebounds. And then when your team has 46 and you have 16 of them, that's pretty good. So shout out to Tatum. He's having a good rebounding year. They are very much still figuring this out. They're very much still trying to get cohesive. I really do think that Jaylen being off in this game, Rob coming back, trying to find some room there for Cantor to slide in, it was a little disruptive. If I'm being fair, some of my criticism can be chalked up to just reintegrating guys. It's already not a, it's kind of like a tenuous, it's like, you know, you ever try to carry a tray or see a waiter carry a whole big tray of stuff. And well, I've tried to do this. You put one too many things or somebody takes something off unexpectedly and the whole thing kind of, you're trying to hold it together. I think some of that was happening in this game. You got to give some credit to Philly for sure, because we always get caught in the trap of the Celtics did something right or the Celtics did something wrong. We never really get into the other team made the Celtics play this way. And the Sixers certainly had their hands in on this. So give them some credit. Both teams, not great. This was an ugly rock fight of an old school Eastern Conference game. Celtics get the win. So pack it up. Bring it with you out west. Maybe you can get a few more out there. Al Horford, a little bit of a revenge game. He tried to play it cool, but we caught him. We caught him. That is coming up next. Shopify. Look, Shopify is going to help you trying to create your own business, run your own business. We know that after the pandemic, a lot of people trying new things. I've tried to do some stuff online. It's hard to know how do I do this? How do I do that? Shopify is more than a store. You can connect with your customers. It drives sales. It manages your day-to-day. It instantly lets you accept all major payment methods, which is one of the most like pain in the butt type of things to try and figure out how to accept all of these things. They have thousands of integrations and third-party apps from on-demand printing to accounting to advanced chatbots and beyond. You can supercharge your knowledge, your sales, and your success. Discover information and inspiration and discover your possible. Shopify unlocks opportunities of your business to more people every day. Every 28 seconds, an entrepreneur like you makes a first sale on Shopify. It powers over 1.7 million businesses and it reaches customers online across social networks, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, more. You get it. You're trying to run a business, you need Shopify. Shopify.com/LockedOnNBA, all lowercase. You can get a free 14-day trial to get and then get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Try it for a couple of weeks. See if you like it. See if it works for you. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to Shopify.com/LockedOnNBA right now. Shopify.com/LockedOnNBA. BetOnline has you covered all season long with more props, odds, and lines than you've ever had before. Football season continues to march towards the playoffs, the NBA getting closer to that Christmas Day big extravaganza to really kick off the meat of the season. Head on over to the new updated desktop or mobile website. Sign up today. Get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get that bonus. So from basketball to football, UFC, your favorite Vegas casino games, take advantage of all the amazing offers at BetOnline, the easiest and fastest way to bet on all your sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Please gamble responsibly.
Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Al Horford, Ime Udoka, Josh Richardson all spent a year in Philly together. It didn't go well for any of them. Ime Udoka was part of a coaching change. The entire staff got fired. Al Horford was part of a lineup shuffle where his signing went just absolutely poorly and it just didn't work at all. They jettisoned him to Oklahoma City. Josh Richardson was acquired from the Miami Heat and didn't do much of anything that he did with the Heat at all. And so they dumped him in Dallas. They ended up getting Seth Curry out of that deal. That was a great deal for them, a terrible deal for Dallas. Josh didn't do anything there. Now he's here in Boston and doing, I think, more than he did in those places so far. So all of them, and after the game, Ime admitted, like, you know, it probably means more to myself, Al, and Josh because we've been there. So a little bit of an admission, by the way, from Ime Udoka that he indeed has human feelings and expresses them sometimes outside of the media setting. It did mean more to them, and it meant more to Al. And I think it really meant more to Al because he hasn't had, like, the other guys had, they felt like, you know, Ime was an assistant coach. He felt like he was going to get jobs. He was always going to have a job in the NBA. Just because he got fired as part of the staff shakeup in Philly, there was never going to be a question. And of course, he hooked on with Brooklyn right away. And everybody knew he was going to be a head coach. Even Josh Richardson, who was down and is seen as a reclamation project, still young enough where he probably was going to get a couple more opportunities. Al was at that age where it's like, huh, okay, maybe we blew it here. And it was in his 13th season, I believe, when he went there. He was coming off some great years in Boston, and it didn't work. They didn't use him right. Ime basically said multiple times this season they didn't use him right. And so you could tell right away, like, he really went at Joel Embiid. Part of why I wish they let him just, you know what? Milk this until it's done. Keep going to the well until it's dry. Because I wanted to see Al take advantage of this opportunity. And if Embiid is hobbled, then go for it. This is the NBA, man. Survival of the fittest. This isn't like, you know, like, this is like wild animals. This is when lions find an injured wildebeest. They don't go, oh, you're hurt. No, we want to make sure we get a healthy one. Nope. That sucker is done. That's dinner. And Embiid was injured or not himself. And I want to see him become dinner for Al Horford. And so I wish they went back to him some more, but still, this was like, you could tell it was meaningful. And Al opened up after the game. And I thought it was interesting because Al is such a, I think the experience changed Al Horford. This whole Philly, OKC, back to Boston thing kind of changed him a little bit. And he says, look, this, it was all on me. And he said, here's the quote. It's everything on me. It was my decision to leave, do all these things. So he knows he got his money. He got plenty of money. The reason why he was able to leave so easily was because they threw a ton of money at him. It kind of made sense. You didn't have to guard Embiid anymore. It felt like, yeah, I can play the four a little bit. So it didn't go great. But that whole thing changed him because he's come back. He's a little more open than he was in the past. I think some of the answers, just remembering Al Horford and covering Al Horford the first time around, much more businesslike, kind of more canned answers. You weren't going to get anything more than the just regular jock speak. Now, granted, some of that was during the Kyrie Irving era, and it wasn't exactly going great, but it's not exactly going great now. They're trying to build something as a different scenario, but still not great. But he's still much more open. He's very, because, yeah, he's admitting, like, yeah, some things are up and down. Yeah, it gets a little frustrating, and he's still not saying a ton, but he's more open for sure. And like he said, it was a very low point for me at the beginning when it all went down, when he was traded from Philly to OKC. You know, he said he had to rely on his faith. He had to lean on this to say, you know, here's my decision. I left Boston, a city that I like, to go to Philly, and it all fell apart, and he got blamed for a lot of it, and he knew that his reputation was getting just destroyed, and the fan base in Philly was just taking it all out on him, and that wore on him. Yeah, you know, these guys are human beings, man. These guys are human, and all the money in the world is not going to change the fact that when you go to a situation and you're paid all of that money to help bring a championship, this is a championship-starved city when it comes to the 76ers. They went through the process. They want the process to pay off, and he was supposed to be one of the guys that helped make that happen. They had Jimmy Butler go through there. That didn't work. Horford, big money signing. That didn't work. All of these things didn't work. Now they're going through all this stuff with Embiid not being healthy, Simmons going through whatever Simmons, you know, that whole mess. And so, yeah, they're looking for every scapegoat they can get. Anytime something goes wrong, they're really hammering that hard. So Al admitted after the game, like, this meant something more. And you don't get a lot of athletes that say, yeah, this was a revenge game for me. And he didn't say that in specific, but he did basically say, yes, this was more meaningful. At first, he said, no, it was just a win. Felt really good get this win tonight. It was a grind, no question. He kind of blew it off. And then I forget who it was that when I asked him again, it was like, basically, really? Really, Al? And he's like, okay, no question. Yeah, I wouldn't say another game. And so it didn't take him much to cave and say, yeah, it was a little more than another game. Okay, I admit it. So good for Al. I'm glad that he got that little bit. Next time the Celtics face the Sixers, it's going to be a lot of motivation. Joel Embiid's going to be pissed off. So that happens later on this month. That's going to be an interesting game. That one's going to be a lot of fun. Whenever the Celtics go to Philly, you got to be in the building for that one. I might. Yeah, you got to be in the building for that one. Just one thing about me, I've said this before, but maybe some of you are new. Celtics at Philly is my favorite atmosphere. I love the hate that is in that building. It is so amazing. And they make it loud and they pump in some noise. It's really loud. The vitriol from the fans in Philly, how much they truly, honestly hate the Celtics is phenomenal. And easily my favorite atmosphere outside, obviously, of the TD Garden. Because when the Garden gets going and it's rocking and everything's going great, it's a fun atmosphere. But outside of that, Philly, Celtics at Philly, oh, I can drink it up. No matter what the result is, I just drink up that atmosphere every single time. It's so awesome. As a player, I loved going on the road. Nothing better when you're playing in a basketball game, being in a road gym, and having it be quiet. Walking out into an arena like that with Sixers fans going crazy at that NBA level, if you can shut that crowd up, if you can have them boo the home team, oh, baby. Oh, that is so great. Love that. So this game here just actually, for me, ramps up the excitement for the next Celtics-Sixers game. First, you got to go to the West Coast. So they'll play again later on this month. There's plenty of Celtics-Sixers coming up. So first, you got to go out west. Jazz and Portland on a back-to-back, a couple days off. Two LA teams on a back-to-back. Finishing it off with the Suns, who haven't lost in more than a month, which is ridiculous. But I'm going to be here. I'll be covering it all Monday through Friday. So make sure you're subscribed. If you have not subscribed, if you're a regular listener or a watcher on YouTube, make sure you're checking out that YouTube page. Please check out that YouTube page. If you're a regular listener or watcher, share the podcast. Tell your friends. Tell everybody that they should be listening to and watching the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.